Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports. It's brought to you by Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover. Now, with the latest, here's Joe Geckler and Chris Cale.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Eric McElroy. Eric, you're filling in for Chris this week. He is working, but we have some big things to talk about. Another NHL championship for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, it's a darn shame that Chris Cale couldn't be here to talk about his Pens winning yet another Stanley Cup championship back-to-back for Pittsburgh, their fifth overall championship. Joe, if you ask me, it was a great series for the NHL. With the small market Nashville getting involved, of course, you have one of the traditional hockey powers in Pittsburgh being in the Stanley Cup final. But great for hockey and great for Nashville that they were in it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. It's neat to see a small market in any sport, whether it's hockey, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. It's always nice to see those small markets that don't spend a ton of money and can get a championship. Great game last night. I actually watched as the only part of the hockey playoffs that I watched was about the last 8 minutes or so of the third period. It was nothing to nothing, and then Pittsburgh scored with about a minute and a half to go in the game to make it 1-0. They got an empty netter late in the game to ice the deal. But great game, great series, and congratulations to Pittsburgh. Even though I was rooting for Nashville,
did you just say congrats to a Pittsburgh sports
team? I did.
Hey,
you got to show class.
Wow, Patrick Hornquist, you mentioned that goal. You put it in with about a minute 35 remaining. It actually went off the back of the goalie for Nashville. Nashville and into the net. I thought we were going to go into OT there for a minute.
Yeah, I did too. And the Predators coach was kind of grabbing for straws, so to speak, at the end, because he challenged, thought it was goaltender interference. It probably could have went either way. The stick was grabbed. He got bumped into a little bit, but you know, not enough evidence there to consider goaltender interference.
So all of Nashville and even my girl Carrie Underwood now, I'm sure, down in the dumps today. But a great series. Pittsburgh, they win it in six games. Like I said, back-to-back titles for Pittsburgh. It's the first back-to-back titles in the NHL since 97-98. That's when Detroit did it. And it's actually the first back-to-back titles since the salary cap era, too, in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, pretty impressive. I know the Pens won it back in 09, and then back in 92, 93, maybe something like that. Mario Lemieux was a player on those teams in the 90s. He is now the owner of the team, so he has won three championships as an owner and two as a player. Pretty incredible.
Sidney Crosby, pretty incredible, too. The playoff MVP, finishing with 27 points. No doubt, probably the best player in the league.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt, the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, like you mentioned, Eric, and 2 years in a row. I was watching the ceremony there towards the end, and he picked up the trophy for a second and skated over, handed it to somebody, went right back to celebrating with his team. I literally like took 10 seconds, and he's not about the individual accolades. He's about a team-oriented player. But Sidney Crosby, like you said, probably the best player in the NHL.
Yeah, that was the only the second time Nashville lost on their home ice throughout their whole playoff run. And the second straight shutout, too. So hats off to Pittsburgh and their defense. So that's it. Stanley Cup final over. The National Hockey League season over. Hopefully we're a long ways away from the NBA season being over.
At least 6 days, right?
At least. We'll talk about the finals coming up soon. But right now, Joe, I want to mention this. I received some information on our all-new Z Country text line brought to you by Weaver Appliance. The Valley Forest Traveling Softball Team here in Tuscarawas County earned a spot to play in the World Series
awesome.
In Ocean City, Maryland. That's going to be in July. But coming up this weekend, they're going to have some car washes to help get some donations to defray some of those costs and heading to Ocean City, Maryland. One car wash for the Valley Force softball team will be on June the 17th from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. That's at Rural King in New Philadelphia. Then that same day at the same time, June 17th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., another car wash at First Stop Drive-Through in Yorksville. Once again, that's for the Valley Forest Traveling Softball Team. Earned that big spot in the World Series. Ocean City, Maryland is where they're going. If you don't know anything about Valley Forest, they're an 03-14U traveling softball team. 11 girls on the team, all from Tuscarawas County, spread across 5 different school districts. They recently just won the Toledo Tune-Up on this past weekend. They actually won it for 4 years in a row. They played 7 games in 7 days, won them all. Last year, they won the ASA National Championship in Marion, and they're looking to do some bigger things this year.
Do you know any of the team members?
I don't know any of the girls, don't know any of the members. Shout out to Jennifer Malterer, who shared this information with me. But once again, those car washes this weekend, if you want to help those girls get off to the World Series in Maryland, one of the car washes in New Philly at Rural King this Saturday, 10 until 2. And then the other one, the same date, same time, 10 to 2 this Saturday at First Stop Drive-Thru there in Yorksville. Good luck to those girls.
Yeah, absolutely, Eric. Congratulations to Valley Force. And they're always a really good team in the area. Usually they're best of your best of the school players, of the high school players are on that team each summer. So congratulations to them as well.
Hey, Cavs are down 3-1. That sounds familiar at all?
It does sound familiar, but we haven't talked since the game on Friday, and me and you really haven't talked much. But your thoughts, you want to get into it after a break? Or
let's do it.
All right, going to take a quick timeout for Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover.
Big Z Sports on 99.9.
Looking for a great place to eat? Then head to Sammy Sue's Barbecue, first place winner of barbecue and ribs in the 2016 Times Reporter Reader's Choice Awards. At Sammy's, they pride themselves on their in-house smoked meats, made fresh to order dinners, side dishes, salads, and made from scratch soups. Sammy Sue's Barbecue is located on Front Street in Dover. Search for them on Facebook, visit their website at sammysuesbarbecue.com, or call 330-602-PORK.
Now, back to Big Z Sports on 99.9.
Welcome back into the WTUZ Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Eric McElroy. Eric, big game in the NBA Finals tonight. Game number 5 back in Oakland. Cavs pick up a big win this past Friday night in a blowout fashion. And Cavs with their backs against the wall. They're down 3-1, but that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Sounds pretty familiar, Joe, dating back to last year. That Game 4 victory on Friday, though, at Quicken Loans Arena, they only had to break a bunch of records to beat the Golden State Warriors. It was Golden State's first loss in the playoffs. Fast start is what the Cavs got out to, and that's going to be key, I think, again, for tonight. That record first half for Cleveland, 86 points. Most points scored in the first half of an NBA Finals ever. Golden State had 68 at halftime.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. When you have to score, what was it, 51 in the first quarter, and then they went on?
I think 49.
49, okay.
First, yeah.
And then, like you said, 86 to take a lead. And they had a nice-sized lead, but you're thinking, okay, this lead isn't safe enough. You got to get it up.
No, I was going to say, I want to ask you not to cut you off, but even when we were up 18 or 15 points, it seemed like we were only up 4, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we were texting on Friday night, like, it feels like we're up 30 and we were up like 16.
Yeah.
But that lead's not safe with a team like Golden State. They can start hitting threes and your lead's gone just like that.
Well, speaking of threes, the Cavs hit 24 of them. That an NBA Finals record. Do you know whose record they broke?
Golden State from this year, right?
from like 2 games ago, Golden State hit 18 of them, and then we fired back with 24 in game number 4. It was a very chippy game too, Joe, in that game Friday night. 7 technical fouls handed out. Speaking of the techs and that 137-116 victory by the Cavs, I want to mention the whole Draymond Green, Steve Kerr technical foul issue. The refs, they said that there was a miscommunication with the scorer's table. Who do you blame there, Joe?
I think you need to blame the officiating. I think it was maybe they weren't clear enough, because if you go back and look at the replay of when Draymond went nuts after he got called for a foul, he was like throwing his hands up and kicking his legs and just being a baby like he is. He got, all of a sudden you see the official come in and give that T sign after Steve Kerr had ran off the bench as well. But both of them are standing right there in front of the official. He teed him up and walked over to the scorer's table. Everybody assumed it was on Draymond.
Everybody at that scorer's table had the first technical.
Absolutely.
On Draymond Green.
I mean, I could see where both of them could have got it. I was hoping it would have been on Draymond just because of late in the third quarter there he got his second one, we all thought. And then, of course, that's when the controversy happened.
Yeah, the first technical you mentioned actually went on Steve Kerr, and then when that second one ensued, it was – given to Draymond. Everybody thought, hey, that's it, he's ejected. They even started playing the Hit the Road Jack music in the arena. And then Draymond after the game said, Cleveland fans aren't too bright, aren't too sharp. That's, you know, that's just Draymond taking a shot at Cleveland fans. But yeah, it was a very interesting, chippy game. That technical issue, though, was a bad look for the NBA with the refs basically seemingly what it looked like changing who was given a technical foul midway through the game.
And even at halftime, the stat sheets that were handed out had a technical foul on Draymond Green. Every stat keeper at the scores table had it on Draymond. I'm just, that's real shady to me. I'm not 100% sure. The NBA needs to investigate that a little bit and find out what happened. But yeah, you're talking about taking a shot at Cleveland fans. Draymond was taking a lot of shots during that game.
He was, and so was his teammate Zaza Pachulia.
Yes.
He got in a couple of shots below the belt, if you will, of Iman Shumpert during a tie-up. They went and reviewed that play. And even though there were not one but two shots to the groin from Zaza to Shumpert, nothing was done about that. And then you have Kevin Durant driving to the hole, gets hit, or I shouldn't say hit, tapped in the head by Kevin Love. And then they go and review that as Kevin Durant starts complaining and everything. Then LeBron and KD start jarring and getting into it. It was just one of those games all night long.
It was, and Draymond had after a jump ball, he jumped up and tipped it, and then, I don't know, he does this crazy thing with his legs and flings his arms out and elbows Shumpert in the face. They never review that, and I'm thinking, how can you not go back and review that stuff if people get hit in the face? And, you know, it's just the officiating. I don't want to blame the officiating, but, man, there's a lot of missed calls that they should go back and look at. And they don't, and then they go back and look at things that you're like, really? I mean, I don't understand it, and the NBA needs to do something with it.
And Tristan Thompson was still fired up after that game. Remember, he was jarring with Draymond throughout the whole game. He dropped a few expletives in the locker room during the post-game interview, so his juices were still flowing. We hope his juices and the Cavs' juices still flowing, Joe, tonight as they are down 3-1 in the NBA Finals to the Golden State Warriors. Swear I've read this book somewhere before. Tonight, Golden State favored by 8.5 points there in the Bay Area. Joe, tonight for the Cavs to extend the series, what needs to happen?
You know, they need to play like they did Friday night, and I think they need to play that good and probably better. I haven't wrote them off 100%. I mean, I did last week when they went down 3-0. I'm like, they're done. You know, they're going to get swept. I really didn't turn on the game until about midway through the first quarter on Friday night. I was watching the Indians, and they went to a break, and I flipped it over to the game just to see what was going on, and they were up like 31-11. And I'm like, what's going on here? So then I started watching it. You know what? I would love to see him win in Golden State tonight. I really would. I would love to see him win Game 5. I just think they have to play better than they did Friday night, and they played probably their best game of the year Friday night.
You really do think they have to play better than that?
I do, because on the road, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's tough to win in Oracle, where the Warriors call home. But I tell you what, when the Cavs were down 0-3, and everybody was saying, oh, they're going to get swept, they're going to give up, I really, in the back of my mind, didn't think they'd get swept, but I thought they had no chance to win the series. Then they come out and win Game 4 the way they did. And even when they were down 0-3 going into Friday night, I told myself, trying to keep a positive mindset, me being the Cleveland sports fan that I am, I said, listen, they can win 2 in a row and get that extra game back in Cleveland, somehow get Game 6 in Cleveland. Then all of a sudden you have a series, because we know what the Cavs are capable of doing on their home floor. They really, Joe, should have won Game 3. Golden State kind of stole one right there. I mean, granted, the Cavs didn't close it out when they should have. You can't go scoreless in the final 3 minutes of an NBA Finals game, especially when you're at home. Could it be 2-2? Yeah, but it's not.
Should be 2-2.
Yeah, we're in this situation where it's 3-1 once again. But I tell you what, I can guarantee you this. Golden State does not want to go back to Cleveland. They don't want to go back to Cleveland for Game 6.
You know, I agree with that. I think, you know, when I said, you know, they need to play as good or if not better than they did Friday night, if they drop 24 bombs on them like they did in Cleveland on Friday night, they do that again in Game 5, you know, Cleveland can win. They just got to play defense. I did see a quote from Tyronn Lue after the game on Friday night saying that we're done being that nice team. It's on. You know, it's going to be a physical matchup. They got to be physical with them. You know, unfortunately, and I don't want to say cheap shots or anything like that, but they got to be physical with Stephen Curry. They got to be physical with Klay Thompson. They got to be physical, people, because if not, they're just going to pull up and shoot threes. Like, no, it's just, they have to be. That's the way the Cavs need to get in Golden State's head, to be physical, rebound the basketball. Kevin Love needs to show up. Of course, Kyrie and LeBron, they'll be there. We know what we get from them. But, you know, they need a very physical matchup on game five, and they really need to, you know, take the crowd out of the game early.
Tip time at 9 o'clock. I tell you what, the last thing you mentioned, you can't let Golden State get hot from the start and get that crowd fired up. 9 o'clock tip time tonight. Of course, NBA Finals game number 5. You mentioned Love showing up. I think we need him as a scorer. He'll grab his boards. Hopefully he blocks a shot here and there. We need his points, especially those outside wide open jumpers. Tristan needs to play like he did in game number 4. And just erase those memories from games 1 through 3. And I think if we have JR step up on the road like he stepped up at home, hitting some big shots, I think in game 3 he had 16 points. Game 4 he had 15 points. We need that kind of JR on the road tonight. And we'll see what happens. Cavs win it. They get an extra game back in Cleveland, game number 6.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I'd love to see you know, game 6 in Cleveland on Thursday night. That would be a lot of fun to be able to
then
watch.
Then game 7 on Father's Day again. Anybody down for that?
Oh, I'll be down for that. I'll be in Gettysburg, but yeah, it'll be I'd watch it there.
What is this vacation everyone speaks of around
vacation?
Here?
You had yours at the beginning of the year. We get ours now.
Hey, shifting gears now. Kind of something shocking last week, Joe, after you and Chris recorded the podcast, a few hours later, there was that breaking news about Thad Matta, Ohio State, and Thad Matta, I guess, sort of agreeing to terms for Thad to step down and retire as head coach of the basketball team at Ohio State.
Yeah, it was rumored early on before the press conference at, I believe it was like 2 o'clock that day. There was a story out that he was going to step down after the upcoming season. Well, during the press conference, they announced that it was effective immediately. Thad Matta out as Ohio State head basketball coach. After 13 seasons, very productive seasons, the last couple of seasons have been down years for them.
They haven't made the tournament the past 2 years.
Yeah, so it was time, and I think the writing was on the wall. The Buckeye fans were you know, kind of saying, you know what, he's run his course. It's time to get some new blood in there. And that's exactly what they did. On Monday, they announced the hiring of Chris Holtmann from Butler, another Butler coach that has Butler ties as well. So Chris Holtmann, I think he's going to do good things. Only 45 years of age, been at Butler for 3 years. And he can recruit. He can recruit Ohio like none other. In fact, he had 2017's number one player in Ohio signed to a letter of intent to go to Butler. He never enrolled, so there's a great chance he could end up at Ohio State. They'll let him out of his letter of intent to go to Columbus. Hopefully that's what happens. They need a player like that. But Ohio State had the press conference on Monday morning at 11 o'clock and to introduce Chris Holtmann. I'm excited about it. I think it's new blood, kind of like when Jim Tressel resigned on Memorial Day weekend back, was it 6 years ago now? And
under, you know, a cloud of controversy.
Absolutely.
Though.
And of course, Luke Fickell coached the one season. They bring in Urban Meyer. I think Chris Holtmann will add, revitalize this program a little bit. It's been down. They've lost many, many recruits and players to transfers. And, you know, it's been a rough couple of years for Ohio State basketball. Hopefully he can get them back on the right track.
It's an 8-year deal, $3 million per season, as Thad Matta is now out. Listen, if they came to a mutual agreement and Thad wanted to leave and Gene Smith and the athletic department wanted him to leave, I'm okay with that. But if they kind of forced Thad out the door, I would have maybe given him one more season. There were a lot of rumors and grumblings anyways leading up to this season. Heck, even last year that he was on the hot seat. He was really on the hot seat going into this year. If they didn't make the tournament this year, he was probably going to step down or maybe possibly even be fired. But Thad Matta, 5 Big Ten Conference regular season championships there at Ohio State, 4 Big Ten tournament titles, 2 Final Four appearances, that in 2007 and 2012. Also, don't forget our NIT championship in 2008, by the way.
Absolutely.
Thad Matta, the winning it in terms of percentage, the winningest basketball coach in Big Ten history. I'm talking, you know, that's higher percentage than folks like Tom Izzo. Ever heard of Bob Knight?
Sure.
Yeah, higher than those guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Thad did a great job while he was here. He really did. I think the last the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say, was Jaquan Lyle being dismissed from the team. That he had a couple transfers again this year. He just lost control of the team.
And Gene Smith did cite recruiting issues along the way, in which maybe because of health, maybe Thad Matta couldn't go on as many recruiting trips as he needed to. But, you know, like you said, Chris Holtmann bringing in some new blood. I think it's time for a new leader there in terms of the basketball program.
Interesting. Thad Matta was hosting a possible transfer recruit that was visiting Ohio State last week when he was phoned by Gene Smith and said, hey, you need to get to my office ASAP, and had to leave the recruit with an assistant coach. And an hour later, Gene Smith tells the assistant that Thad is no longer there as he continues to host this potential transfer in as a recruit. But interesting that he found out during a recruiting visit by a potential recruit.
You know, it's interesting because last week, not only Thad Matta stepping down, but also a Bob Stoops, head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners for 18 years, Youngstown, Ohio native, kind of a shocking decision. He retired as well.
Yeah, he did retire. I think it was the right time for him to go out. You know, Lincoln Riley's is a great offensive mind. I think Oklahoma's in great hands, but it is 3 months prior to they play the Ohio State Buckeyes and here in Columbus coming up in September. But you know what? A lot of people have been saying since he stepped down, he's kind of positioning himself a little bit to take the Notre Dame job after Brian Kelly gets fired after this upcoming season. That's what they expect with Brian Kelly, for him to be on the hot seat at Notre Dame. And now the speculation is Bob Stoops would go coach at Notre Dame. So you know what? You know, Bob had a great run at Oklahoma, a couple national championships, had some great players come through there, and he did a great job. Like you said, Youngstown native. Youngstown, they've had their share of great coaches in college football over the past, 20, 30 years. You got all the Stoops brothers. You got, of course, Jim Tressel, and a countless number of Bo Pelini, of course, is from Youngstown area as well. So it's neat to see Ohio have so many successful coaches. Of course, Urban's from Ashtabula, which is up near Cleveland. And, you know, Bob Stoops had a great run at Oklahoma. His time's done, and Lincoln Riley takes over.
I think Bob Stoops, it's tough. I don't know if Bob Stoops will ever coach again, to be honest with you. And I don't think he wants to end up like his dad, sort of coaching till the day he died. So I think in his head, he thought it was a good time to step away. He's accomplished a lot there at Oklahoma, multiple Big 12 titles, and he goes out defeating the SEC. So I'm sure he's happy about that. They defeated Auburn in their bowl game. We'll shift gears, Joe, onto the diamond. The Indians over the White Sox 4-2 yesterday. The Indians are now 29, still a game and a half behind Minnesota in the AL Central. The Indians are off today. They start a three-game series with the Dodgers starting tomorrow, that one in Cleveland. Then they travel to Minnesota. Of course, that's important because I just mentioned they trail the Twins in the AL Central standing. Cincinnati seemed like they got hot for a while. Your boy Scooter Jeanette, he can't hit four home runs each and every single game.
No, he cannot. Cincinnati boy hitting four home runs. He grew up in Cincinnati. They picked him up in spring training as a waiver from Milwaukee. He turns around and jacks four home runs against St. Louis last week, which was pretty cool.
Didn't they sweep him all four games?
They did.
Yeah, that's the first time they've done that in years and years.
Yeah,
I know
been
that.
A long time.
Cincy in L.A. yesterday, Dodgers won it 9-7. The Reds lost all three out there over the weekend to L.A. They're now 29-33. Cincinnati at San Diego for three games, and then Cincy in L.A. again. The Dodgers come to Southern Ohio later this week. And then the Pirates, they took two out of three from Miami over the weekend. They won 3-1 yesterday. They're 28-35. So your Reds not in last place in the NL Central, Joe.
I think they're overachieving a little bit, to be honest with you. They do have 3/5 of their starting rotation on the disabled list with DeSclafani and Finnegan and Homer Bailey. Homer is rehabbing in Pensacola right now, but you know, the Reds are overachieving a little bit, but hey, they're staying hot. They're staying there. Let's see what happens. You know, they can compete with most of these teams. Their offense is really good. It's going to be their pitching that will probably be the downfall of
the Indians. Still a wildly inconsistent team. Tito Francona starting to rip into his team a little bit. He dropped an F-bomb the other day after losing 2 to Colorado. He basically said, I could give a you-know-what about Colorado. I'm worried about my team. So he's starting to get a little frustrated, and I think his team will respond. We'll see, though, here. This is around the time last year the Indians got hot and went on the run. So we'll look for them to get hot again. Pittsburgh, though, hosting Colorado starting today for three games, then they welcome the World Series champion Chicago Cubs.
Yep, and then like you mentioned, you know, the Reds, they go, you know, have the Dodgers come in. Then I'll actually get to see them when I'm in D.C. I'll get to see them play the Nationals for a game. And believe it or not, I'll get to see the Indians play Baltimore when I'm there as well. So it's
nice.
Going to be a
at
little
Camden,
bit of baseball.
Right? That's a nice ballpark there in Camden.
The first retro park. That was one of the first ones they started doing all that. So yeah. It'll be interesting.
Hey, a few other notes for you real quick, Joe. Ryan Blaney earned his first career NASCAR Cup victory yesterday. He held off Kevin Harvick down the stretch at Pocono. He's 23 years old, won for the first time in 68 career starts. Hats off to him. Eric Jones, he spells it with a K, so he spells it wrong. He was in third. Kurt Busch and Brad Keselowski followed up there. Rafael Nadal, his 10th French Open title, 15th career Grand Slam. Dude's 31. He just breezed right through the tournament this time. He thumped third seed Stan Wawrinka yesterday.
Easy for you to say.
Even though I think I still said it wrong. Wawrinka. No, I think that's right. Also, soccer action. Mexico City yesterday. The U.S. national team, a tie with Mexico 1-1. That's World Cup qualifier. Did you see Michael Bradley's goal from like 40 yards out?
I did. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. The Americans are now 2-0-2 in the final round of qualifying after opening with back-to-back losses in that World Cup qualifier. So they're starting to get on track now after two losses. You know, they're 2-0-2.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, you and Chris will have to record next week. I will be out, but I'm sure you guys will hold down the fort quite well. Appreciate you filling in for Chris as he is doing his duty up at as a firefighter.
Hey, a little cross promotion real quick this Thursday at Wood Lake Beach, 5 until 8. We'll see you guys for our WTUZ MWCD Beach Party. Cornhole tournament happening, free entertainment, food, fun for the whole family. It's going to be a lot of interesting things happening out there. We hope to see everybody there, Joe.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun. Of course, we got our cornhole tournament that we're doing. That'll be a lot of fun. Like you mentioned, the food and fun. It's always fun out there.
And it's right there on the beach. Did we mention that?
So I can throw you in the lake, right?
No. We won't be having any of that. Yeah, that's it. Go Cavs, Joe.
Absolutely. Game 5 Monday at 9 o'clock in Oakland. Eric, thanks for hanging out with me today, podcasting, and we'll talk to you guys next week. You've been listening to the Big Z Sports Podcast presented by Sammy Sue's Barbecue.
Always believe something, Cleveland. It's always us against the world. Always us against the world. Cleveland against the world. Let's go!
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.
We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ.